as a podcast. And now, here is the most mental giant to never win the game, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast, officially kicking off episode recaps for our 13th Survivor season here on the podcast. We recently celebrated our six-year anniversary. Back a couple, I think last week was our six-year anniversary here of covering Survivor here on the podcast. So very excited to kick off season number 13 officially with our recap. And we've got a great one here today. Jeff Varner will be our guest to talk about everything that happened here in Survivor Korong's season premiere. And then separate podcast, we will have our voicemails with Bryce Isaiah. That does help me get the show out to you a little bit quicker, because while I am talking with Bryce Isaiah, the great Scott St. Pierre will be editing this podcast for you guys to be listening to quicker than I would be able to get it out. And then tomorrow morning, probably around lunchtime on the East Coast, you guys will be listening to the voicemail podcast with Bryce Isaiah coming up. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Go to robhaswebsite.com/iTunes or search for Rob Has a Podcast in your favorite podcatcher to make sure you don't miss any of it. Of course, last night we did the Survivor Know-It-All. Stephen Fishback was back, and it was like we didn't miss a beat. Stephen did a great job last night. Talked about a lot of stuff with him if you didn't see that episode. And then, of course, I did my exit interview with Darnell this morning, who I really did like, and I'm really sad to see him go. You can hear that as well on robhasawebsite.com. No commercial or anything like that before we get into anything. I'm going to bring you our interview with Jeff Varner. And then if you like it, if you enjoy it, if you make it to the end, I want to say a few words about the Patreon program on Rob Has a Podcast. So only if you look, that's only for the people that like the show enough to make it through my interview with Jeff Varner. All right, everybody. I am very excited to get the Survivor recap season started by talking with somebody that I've been excited about this moment since we started going through Survivor Second Chance, because he was so electric all through his time on the show last season. Here he is on the podcast, the great Jeff Varner.
I can't believe you called me electric.
Electric.
I've been called a lot of things in my life. I think electric is a first, Rob. Thank you for that.
Yeah. So there you are. How about that, Jeff?
How about that?
Yes. Very exciting. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Stick your finger in me and your hair will stand straight up.
Whoa.
Not appropriate. I'm sorry. I got to figure out ways to one-up Corinne.
Yeah, well, good luck with that.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard that podcast yet, and I'm dying to, because the hype is just so awesome. I just can't wait. I can't find the time to sit down and just dedicate 2.5 hours, but I will.
There's a lot of hype. There's a lot of hype. Anyway, so here we are. It's the first podcast of Survivor 32. It was 30 seasons ago that Jeff Varner first played.
30. That's only that? 15 years, though. You got to divide that in half.
Yeah.
So makes me feel younger.
Yeah. And so can you believe it, Jeff?
No, I never would have thought this show would have gone 30 seasons.
Yeah.
Or 34 or 3.
It's 32 now. Yeah.
That's awesome. It's a great show.
Yeah.
Doing it over and over and over and coming up with something different every time is quite the challenge. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. It's amazing.
Well, we'll get into all that. What have you been up to since the finale?
Working. I've got a job, so I'm trying to pay the bills with the job. I'm trying to start a company on the side, and everything in the world's getting in the way. I got a dog that's demanding every 5 minutes of my attention.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get a house. There's a lot going on. I'm just pulling my hair out.
Yeah. Why? What's your dog up to?
Right now, he's running around the side of the house. I'm in the backyard keeping an eye on him to make sure he doesn't get into something. We've got some kittens that have decided to take root under our outbuilding in the back, and he's discovered them. So I have to watch him when he uses the bathroom so he doesn't go killing kittens. He's already got a squirrel. He loves to chase after things. The neighbors hate me, and I don't care. I love my baby. He sleeps with me well.
What's your dog's name?
Kofor. I named him after my grandmother's. That's my grandmother, great-grandmother's maiden name, maybe? My grandmother's maiden name. They were very stingy with money. They were very good with money. And the night I was trying to name him, I was cleaning my wallet. And I laid all my receipts and everything out. And he stuck his little head up on top of the coffee table and grabbed a 20 and ran down the hallway.
Yeah.
So I named him after the frugal people in my family. He's awesome. He's part greyhound, part lab. So he's skinny and tall and long, and he knows I'm talking about him. He's just staring at me.
Yeah.
You'd love him.
There you go. Well, I'm not a huge dog guy, Jeff. Well, better be a special dog to say that I would love the dog.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that. Maybe you'd hate his guts. So who knows? But I love
him. We have a dog, and I don't even like the one that we have. So I don't know.
He's really sweet. Very special. Loves people. He's just awesome. He's a great little buddy to have.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's start to talk about this. So we had this Brains versus Beauty versus Brawn season, which kicked off last night. All new players. Are you excited about this group, Jeff?
I really am. I didn't realize how excited I was until it actually started. I tried to get a handle on who people were and what they'd be like, and I am pleased to announce I got everything wrong. So
that's good.
If I told you I hated you in an article, Survivor 32 people, I love you, I'm sure.
See, I feel like that's one of your moves, which I really love, which is like the, you can pretty much say whatever you want. And then it's like, yeah, I did. You know what? I was totally wrong then. I said that about you and I totally blew it, right?
Absolutely. That's the beauty of being able to talk about these people. You don't really know them, so they can't hold you responsible.
Yeah. Well, because you were the superstar of the Survivor 31 preseason.
Not really. Why do you say that?
Because I felt like that you were the one person in all the interviews where I feel like other people were sort of like playing it close to the vest. I felt like that you were very forthcoming in all of your interviews that you did with the press that were out there and the press that talked to you guys beforehand.
Yeah.
You were talking about like, not only like, this is what I'm going to do. These are the people that I'm working with. This is what I really think about this person. This is a person I'm going to target. And I feel like that other people to some degree were more open with that. But I feel like that you were the most open with that.
Well, I didn't feel like I had anything to lose. And on the day that I landed on the beach, I did the opposite of everything I said I was going to do. So none of that ever mattered.
Well, the best part about all of it is that the preseason, especially with a season like that, can be very boring. So at least it was like, oh, here, what did Jeff Varner say now? What did Jeff Varner say in this article? So, you know, some of the...
That's probably the reason they did that, actually.
Yeah. Well,
they knew I was gone early, so...
Good. Well, it was appreciated by me.
Well, I'm glad you appreciated it. I'm kind of terrorized by it, actually. If I ever get my hands on that little goober that did that pre-gaming video, I'm going to strangle his ass. I don't know why. He put things together. I don't even remember his name, but I see his face.
Mikey
like
the Chimp.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, that made you mad that he did that?
It did, because I didn't put that all together like that. He made it sound like I was aligned with everybody, and I wasn't. And I didn't say that I was. I just said, I like this one. I've been chatting with this one, and I talked to that one. And they made it sound like I had two alliances and was aligned with everybody.
Yeah. Well, I thought you
were. And then I end up on a beach with all of them, which is no coincidence. This guy is some kind of production stooge. He has to be.
No, he is not. He is not.
I don't know. I'm giving him a hard time. He was a nice guy.
Yeah, Mikey, but, you listen to the show.
Hey, Mikey, I'm going to strangle you when I see you. But, you know, I really wasn't. You know, I was chatting up with Terry and Wiggles and Shane, and that's it. You know, I was talking to everybody else, but my commitment was to them. So when I got out there and realized I had to vote against them, it was just mortifying to me. And I did everything I could to get back on that. You know, I was loyal to them to the very beginning. And even though I talked to people and did whatever, I was loyal to those three people.
Well, that is a great setup for the first vote of this season, because that you got us off on the right foot in season 31 with that crazy first vote, which came down to basically you deciding which way that you wanted to go, whether it was going to be for Abby Maria or for Vetus, and really set the tone for the entire season there.
Yeah.
Tonight or last night, we end up having this vote, which comes down to a vote between Alicia and Darnell. Do you think that in any way that could turn out to be a Vetus or Abby Maria type moment going forward?
You never know. I have no idea, but I did pay very close attention to that when they did the revote, that wink that Jason gave Sydney, and Sydney shook her head yes. They had an agreement before they went out there.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to vote this way, and then if this happens, then we're going to go back this way. I think I read on Twitter that Jason said that that was an idol flush, that first vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he admitted that. You know, they had that all worked out, that arrangement. They obviously went into that tribal knowing exactly what they were going to do and how they did it. I have great respect for Jason after that first tribal.
Now, are you calling him Jason? I feel like I'm so confused because I thought he was Kyle the whole preseason. Kyle Jason. Now we're calling him by his last name, which is also a first name?
It seems that they were calling him Jason. So. Yeah.
All right. So should we call him Jason from now on?
That's where I'm going. That's where I'm going.
It's official. Garner made the call. We're going to go with Jason.
I like him. I like him a lot.
Well, I'm looking at this group, and to me, I feel like that he seems to be the most Varner-esque guy out of this group. Do you agree with that?
I don't know about that, but I just like him, so maybe.
I mean, he's the guy who seems to be the person who's working with the most people so far on this Braun Tribe.
It did appear that way. I don't know. I don't want to throw myself under a bus here.
What bus?
I don't know. Everybody thinks I'm pre-gamer dude, so I, you know, and I'm really not.
Since when are you keeping your cards close to the vest?
Since Mikey the cricket, whatever you said his name was.
Chimp.
What you call it? The chimp.
Don't start getting conservative with me now.
I've got to behave myself, Rob.
Why?
Because I got into trouble and I don't ever want to
get into that. You were loosey-goosey all through season 31 and now we're in season 32 and you're going to start to be playing it tight?
All right, what do you want to know? I'll tell you what you want to know. Just ask me.
No, I think that there could be a little bit of a Varner streak so far in this Jason.
I think that you don't know anybody when you first get there. You don't know where everybody's going and who you can trust and who's lying to you. So it's best to just stay on everybody's good side. And when the time comes, go where the numbers are. You just have to. You're not there long enough to make your relationships yet. So you don't really know how things are going to play out and shake out. I thought I was going to land on that beach and be set. And I was there 15 minutes thanks to Hurricane Shireen and everything changed. You just have no idea. And it's best to just not have any enemies. Kelly Wentworth played a beautiful game in that she was on everybody's good side and she had little deals with everybody and she played it right. And that's what I see Jason doing. And so you can call him Varner if you want. I'll take it as a compliment.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like a fine line because as you're complimenting Kelly, I feel like the same thing, with you talking about working with everybody. Like, at what point does it become a problem where it's like, okay, I'm on good terms with everybody. Everybody feels like they're working with me. At what point does it become problematic where everybody is like, oh, he's going to the end with you? He told me he's going to the end with me. And so at that point, is that like, where is the fine line with that?
Well, you don't tell anybody you're going to the end with anybody. You know, you just have to play it a little differently, I guess. I lost. If you were paying attention, I went home real early. So maybe I'm just a dumbass and have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah,
who knows? But I played that game twice. I've never had the luxury of sitting on a jury. I suck.
I feel like, though, if they wouldn't have switched it up, though, I feel like you were set up well going forward with the KO.
Yeah, but, you know, they switch it up. That's what they do. And I didn't have a swap in Australia. So even though I'd watched seasons of swaps, it never dawned on me that you have to play a different way when you're going to do that. And I just wasn't. I screwed myself. I shot myself in the foot. I went too hard, too fast. And it was a problem. I had to because everybody else was doing that. But, you know, you have to play at the pace of the fastest moving person on your beach because they set the tone. And whoever that is and whatever they're doing, you either go with it or you're lost.
But I'm not even sure if that's ultimately the case that you played too hard, too fast, because what ultimately ended up happening when you went to Angkor wasn't so much, I mean, maybe it was just the collateral damage of everything that was already going on with Abby Maria and PG, and that was sort of like a fractured group.
Yes.
But
yes.
I don't know. I think maybe it's too easy to say that it was just, you know, too hard, too fast is ultimately what went down. Because I think that if you were switched with a different group, I don't think that necessarily you would have been done for no matter who you switched with.
Maybe. But, you know, the other group, the other tribe was not going too hard, too fast. They were going slow. And so when they landed, they had that mentality and we had our mentality. And in the middle of all of that was Abby, who was the big wild card. You never knew what she was going to do and how she was going to do it. And I kind of loved that about her, but it bit me. It bit me.
In the ass.
Yeah. I thought it was a crab, but actually it was Abby. What just bit my ass? I love that.
Yeah, because with that season, though, I bit
myself in the ass. Is what
where when you take a look at the person who was the winner that season, who was Jeremy, I think he was a guy that when you talked to him, you felt safe and you felt like he wasn't moving fast. And I think that there were probably just so many people out there like yourself who were playing the game very hard and very fast. And that I think that made people be on edge, where Jeremy was somebody who made people feel safe and comfortable. And I think that's why he was like the perfect person to win that season.
Yeah, very good point. Fishback had such a hard time in the beginning because everybody thought he was moving so quickly.
Yeah, everybody was like nervous about everything. And Jeremy is like the one guy that makes you feel comfortable.
But at Takeo, people were complaining that people were playing too fast, but everybody kept doing it. So
you got to keep up with the Joneses.
Sit down. Shut up. Quit playing that way. You don't like it because you're going to do it. I got to do it. I can't just be sitting here lost. I don't want to go home first.
Yeah. Well, all right, then let's talk about the guy who did go home first in Darnell. You know, I spoke with him this morning. I feel like it was more about than just the scuba mask. How did you read that in watching the show on Wednesday?
I still don't understand what happened.
Yeah.
I thought it was clearly Alicia going. I don't understand why. I still don't get why they picked him. There's something we didn't see. There's a conversation somehow we didn't see. First tribal council for us, there was a whole lot you didn't see. There was a lot of drama that broke out. They didn't put in the show that would have explained things a little bit better. So I know that they leave things out for whatever reason. I just feel like there's something we didn't see. And that one scene where Jason's sitting there with Alicia and asking her if she has an idol, and I feel like it happened right in there somehow.
Yeah, I agree.
They just didn't show it to us.
In talking with Darnell this morning, you know, I almost buy that Scott definitely was really upset about him losing the scuba mask, because I think that sort of like makes sense if you're on some sort of like a team sport and the guy who screwed up that you want to say, okay, well, that's the person that has to go home. But I feel like that with Jason, in the way that he was talking about how he wanted to sort of play like a Russell Hance, he might feel like if Darnell is a guy who I can't control, who's not working with me, then he's of no use to me.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I never felt like I needed to control anybody, and I never felt like anybody was trying to control me. So that whole control fear thing that a lot of people play with, I didn't sense that in Takeo, but it's definitely a factor for some people, and maybe it was last night.
Do you feel like that somebody like Jason could be looking at who are my pawns, who are my numbers that I know are going to do what I tell them to do?
Maybe. I mean, he did admit he wanted to play like Russell, and, you know, Russell and Rob and Tony and those guys play like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good for them. I mean, who knows? We'll see. That will reveal itself eventually. But, you know, in the beginning, it's really hard to come out like that.
Yeah.
You got to be careful. And I learned my lesson the hard way. If I'm ever granted the opportunity to play again, and I hope I am at some point, because I really have another one in me, I think. I don't know that I don't know. I don't want to say what I would and wouldn't do because I have no idea, but who knows?
What, are you going to turn over a new leaf?
I don't know. I just feel like what I did in Cambodia was wrong. Everything was wrong. And I had a whole plan of what I was going to do and how I was going to do it. And I got there and Shireen grabs me by the hair and pulls me into the woods, caveman style. It just went from there and I wasn't ready for that. And I don't even.
Well, maybe she thought your outfit reminded her of Fred Flintstone.
Maybe. Apparently. It's kind of a dead ringer.
She grabbed you in by the. She grabbed you and she brought you into the jungle. And what did she say?
Just remember, she was standing there with Spencer and said, "Come here." And she's like, "I love you. I want to work with you. I want to work with you. Let's do it. Let's do it. We've got wet work. Let's do it." And you know that's a good thing. So it's like, okay, sure, yeah, hell yeah. And meanwhile, back at the shelter, my real alliance is sitting there on their ass doing nothing and not playing at all. And you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking I'm loyal to these other people. So what am I going to do? And, you know, I just found myself in a pickle. It was the most uncomfortable thing ever. And I didn't know what to do. And I just decided I'm going with the majority. You have to. And I'll just make sure that this majority doesn't vote for my people. And then I'll figure out tomorrow morning the best thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't. All of that whole time, that early time was just so emotional for me. Really, it's odd how emotional I was in that situation, because I wasn't that way at all when I got out there. The whole pregame, all of that, I was ready to go. And then you land and it's like, oh my god, I'm here. I just want to cry. Like, it's just all this comes flying out. 15 years of wanting to do something and not having the chance to do it, I just underestimated how that would bubble up and just explode in crazy ways.
Jeff, in both of your seasons, you end up at Tribal Council on the first, after 3 days, the first time that you go to the challenge, you lose both times and you end up there. Now, in the first time in Australia, you're playing with people that you never met before. The second time you're playing with people that you have met before. But just how quickly do these things just start to come together that you're sort of like, you know, I'm in an alliance with these people. And I don't even know how this ultimately ended up happening.
In Australia, we just were just thrilled to be there because it was, we knew it was a big deal and we just wanted to just have fun and enjoy it. And I just remember we were just all just enjoying it. It wasn't about figuring out who was going to go first and trying to find that person and who are they going to be. Cambodia was flip opposite. As soon as you land, it's like, I'm not going to be first. So who is? And you just were on the hunt for somebody to screw up or get on your nerves or something. They were vastly different experiences for me. I don't know if I answered your question.
Well, I think that for these people that went to the Tribal Council last night, it's the same sort of thing where it's just so quickly. And I was, you know, the first time I played, I was in that same situation where I was at the first Tribal Council. And then I felt just so relieved the second time I played. And, you know, little did I know that it would be very similar to your second time. Except that you got a lot more airtime, but sort of like around that same point in the game, you know, but I felt such a relief of like, oh my God, this is great. I don't even have to go to Tribal Council the first time out. This is fantastic. And it was such a, you know, a great feeling to sort of just be safe for that first vote. But there is that terrible sensation that must be happening where it's like, okay, this is like, so, you know, what are the chances that I have to go to this first Tribal Council? And now it's like, it can't possibly be me, right? It can't be me.
Well, I knew it wasn't me. Yeah. And so that there's a safety and a comfort in going into a first Tribal, knowing you're not on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows what they're going to do. And you, half the group knows one thing and the other half knows the other thing. And it's just, you're, which way are you going to go? It doesn't matter. You just know it's not you. And so there's a relaxation that sort of sets in with that.
Now, in watching you in your first season, now I remember very much that you, much like how Aubrey ended up needing to take a minute, you too really were ill from very early on in Australia. And you were from the moment that you guys got off the plane. Now, I don't think we've ever talked about this on the show. Was it actually a bug or were you sick from the plane when you arrived in Australia?
I had a motion sickness thing going on because that plane, they brought us in, they spun it around and turned it upside down and they fed us bananas and water. That's all they gave us. And they were like, here, drink, eat, drink, eat. Meanwhile, the plane is rocking back and forth and I think they did that on purpose. So when I got
on the plane, you had to eat the bananas.
They gave you bananas and water when you got on the plane. I don't know. I don't know why they did, but they did. That's all they gave.
Airline food, right?
And I just remember feeling like I was going to vomit. And I heard people gagging and puking. And there was a netting behind me that was against the wall. And I just grabbed the net and just breathed and breathed and went into some kind of zone. I don't even remember it. All I know is all of a sudden I'm on the ground and there's some Australian army dude in my face screaming, get off this plane, get off this plane. And it woke me up. I went into some kind of trance.
You blacked out?
I did. I completely went. I don't know if I fell asleep, if I passed out or what, but I went from feeling like I was going to throw up to this man screaming in my face 45 minutes later.
Yeah.
And everybody's talking about, did you see Jeff Probst hanging out of the back of the plane? That was so cool. He walked up and down and I don't remember. I never saw any of that. But when I got off that plane, I just was nauseous.
Yeah.
And they put us in a van for a period of time and drove us from one place to another and let us out. And the whole time I'm in that van, I'm about to throw up. Kimmy's rubbing my head. And that stayed with me for a couple of days. Plus I was detoxing. I'm a massive coffee drinker. Mm-hmm. I think I smoked three quarters of a pack of cigarettes that morning. So it just, everything was coming together. But unlike Aubrey, I just didn't show it. I didn't really show it. And there was when I got to the point where I couldn't not show it anymore, I just said, I'm going to go throw up. I'll be all right. And I threw up and I was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back. Aubrey's like walking right up in the middle of everybody. Help me. Somebody help me. I can't think. You know, I would never have done that.
Now, when you were feeling sick in Australia, was that a thing of, oh, Jeff's sick, let's get rid of him?
Yes.
Yes.
And Deb jumped on it and ran with it. And that's why I didn't want to show it. I didn't want that to happen. I followed her around. I knew what she was doing. She went to Alicia first, which was my saving grace.
Because
as soon as she left Alicia, Alicia came to me and said, this is what Deb's doing. And I just watched her.
Yeah.
And every time she would go to somebody, I'd follow in behind her and I'd fix it.
Yeah.
So she's running around thinking she's busting my ass. And I'm running around behind her, cleaning up every little mess,
right,
making sure it's her. And
because she told people that you said you wanted to be voted off, right?
Yeah, it was a complete lie. Why would I ever say that? I remember laying there thinking, I'm really hungry. I'm craving a pizza and a Coke. I just am craving that. But somehow that turned into Jeff wants to go. He wants to go eat pizza and a Coke. And that's what people will do out there. They twist and turn. And it's such an awful thing. This game is awful. It's an awful situation to put yourself in.
Yeah, people will take whatever you said and turn it into whatever they want it to be. Absolutely.
Yeah, and some people are really good at that.
But were you surprised that Aubrey, and she asked for help and she said she had to go lay down and she said, I need water. You know, I need Debbie. I need you to take care of me, get me fruit. And it didn't seem like anybody was like, okay, well, Aubrey, we got to, you know, take her out now. It's almost like that the people we're in her alliance, we're a little bit like, well, if she can't make it, then she can't make it. But nobody really seemed like that this was an opportunity, right?
Well, that we saw.
Yeah.
They didn't end up going to tribal in the end of the night. So maybe there's a lot that went down we didn't see. But I love that Debbie looked at her and said, honey, do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Because I saw that as there's a doctor on the other side of those woods who's going to take you away so it won't be me. So get up off your little sick ass and go over there to that doctor and tell him you want to go. That's what I saw her saying right there.
See, I thought she was taking care of her. I thought she was.
She might have been, but I've read that as get up, get out, do what you got to do, lay down. It don't matter. This is all good for me. Do it.
Yeah.
Let me help you do it.
Now, you played with a Debbie, right?
What
do you think of this Deb, this eccentric Deb?
They're so similar.
Oh, wow.
I think they're similar. You know, like she doesn't fit in. They don't fit in. Neither one of them fits into the group.
Yeah.
So they're similar in that way. And they're the same age, I think, weren't they? I don't know. I don't know how old Deb is. Sorry, Deb. I hope I'm not aging. She might be like 100. I have no idea.
Do you know how old Deb might be 100?
She's talking about retiring soon. So maybe she wasn't. I have no idea. But anyway, Deb was always, she was physically strong. You know, she was good in those challenges.
Yeah.
Debbie seems to be good. But, you know, they're both annoying in that annoying way. I mean, Debbie would have really grated on my nerves right there.
So you don't think you would have gotten along with Debbie this season, Brains Debbie?
Sure. I get along with everybody.
You got along with Abby Maria.
I get along with everybody. People couldn't stand Abby, and she didn't bother me. And I learned early on that, you know, as long as you are friends with Abby and nice to Abby, she's not going to jump all over you. She's not going to do that Abby thing to you. So I kind of stayed in that safe zone, and I like Abby. I liked Abby. I got along with her good. Others hate her guts, can't stand her.
Yeah.
And she's the reason I went home at the end of the day, and I still love her. You know, she's just a fascinating person to me. I couldn't marry her. God bless Pete. But, you know, I love Abby. I could hang out with her and have a good Abby. Be fun to go vacation with for a little while.
Yeah. Not to Angkor Beach, preferably, right?
I'd like to leave her there. That's an awful place. That was just all.
Well,
like
talk about
it.
I saw you said on Twitter that you were saying which tribe is at which beach. So
yes.
Give us the transfer of from 31 to 32.
Well, the beaches were the same beaches. Brain is at Takeo. I could just tell. I could tell by tree mail. I could tell by where they're building their shelter. I remember when we were at Takeo, we saw a tree limb with notches on it. So we knew that somebody was at that beach counting off the days. I won't tell you how many days they counted to, because I don't know if that gives anything away. But
okay,
they were there, and the Bayonne group was the beauty people, the yellow people, and the red people were on a beach that looked like Angkor a couple of times, and then a couple of times it didn't. So maybe, but I just remember being out there. They talked a lot about injuries and infections from the cast before, and be careful, and if you got a cut, don't go in the water. And I can almost swear once somebody said to us that there was a beach that one tribe was on that was so bad that they had to move them off that beach and put them on another one.
Right.
And so when we showed up at Angkor, I thought that was a fresh beach, that they weren't going to put us back on that ugly, nasty, infected place, but some of those shots look
well.
The
now
same.
We know, don't go in the water, because if you have a cut, you're going to get infected, because Darnell was using it as a toilet
right on the front steps. Like, we at least went a good 100 yards away from camp so nobody would see us. He
Angkor
right
was
out
a
of
nice
house.
Place when they had it.
Takes a dump on the front yard. That's like ridiculous. Why did he do that?
I don't know. I hear all these survivors talking about it. I thought I saw you writing on Facebook about how that's the way to go.
Aqua dumping?
Yes.
It's fantastic.
It taking sounds like you're knocking it.
No, no, no. I'm knocking his choice of location.
Yes.
You don't shit right there in front of your house. You know, you got to go down about a while and get away from it, because, you know, it comes out of you and it floats. It goes up with the tide and it washes up on the beach, and he looked like he was right there at it. And that's just awful. But an aqua dump is a beautiful thing. If you ever get a chance, have you done it, right?
No, no, I never did. I never
did. It's sanitary and it's relaxing. Yeah. You just sit there and let it go. And they tell you not to move after you're done, because they give you a little primer at the beginning on how to do it. Because there's an art to aqua dumping.
Who gave you a primer on that?
When they come to Ponderosa and tell you about the trees and the bugs and the snakes, and don't touch this and don't do that, and here's how you light a fire. They do it real quickly, you know, hoping you don't understand what they're saying, so you look like an idiot trying it on TV. But aqua dumping is part of that process. So
yeah,
I was
I never
terrified
did.
To do it. The first time I did it, I thought, this is the weirdest thing ever. And then after I did it, I will never do it another way. If I can ever take a dump in the water anywhere, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But they tell you not to move away from it when you're done, because when you move, it creates a stream that pulls it toward you. Just lay there and let it go and it'll wash away. And, you know, they're absolutely right. But when you let it go, you have this urge to just get out of the vicinity, and you start to move, and all of a sudden it starts coming towards you, and it's a panic kind of a thing. Like, you can't get
like
away
Jaws.
From it. Yeah. And the faster you move to get away from it, the faster it follows you, because you're creating this force behind you of water, and you just kind of have to chill, but it's very relaxing. I highly recommend everybody go out in the water and just dump once. It's a good thing.
It's very zen. Very zen.
Very zen.
Who needs Vedas yoga when you could go ahead and just go with Jeff Varner to the beach?
Yeah, it's like, well, I don't want him to go with me. I want to go by myself.
You want to be private.
I would imagine giving birth in water. It's probably a lot like that. And
that's
that, you
why
know,
people want to do it, yeah.
Yeah, it's relaxing. It's gross, but it's...
And then, after the baby comes, then you don't swim away, because then, it's going to follow you.
Well, the baby's not going to rub up against your leg and create a mark.
All right.
So,
we've gone
a baby's
too far.
A little
we've
different.
Gone too far.
Okay, sorry, sorry. Am I getting close to Corinne status yet?
Yeah, getting close. Okay. All right, so let's talk about another horrible thing over at Angkor Beach. And
I don't want to talk about Tasha.
No, Jeff.
Sorry.
Stay with me.
Yeah, okay.
I want to talk about the horrible ear-infesting monsters of Angkor Beach.
Never saw one. That was news to me last night. Yeah. How does that happen?
I don't know. I didn't even know that was a thing on Survivor. In 32 seasons, we haven't had this before. And
what
now,
was that?
Yeah, it's like a new terror. Did they tell you guys about that on season 31? Like, hey, just so you guys know, we've been having some bugs that are burrowing into people's brains out here. So just be careful.
No, and I have no idea what that was. It looked like a little centipede larvae kind of a thing. But
yeah,
where do you get that? I mean, I slept on the beach every night. I didn't even sleep in the shelter. It was more comfortable to sleep on the sand. But I covered my whole head with my buff. Like, nothing could get in any hole.
Yeah. No, I do that move, too, of just, like, going ahead. Like, you could do it in real life, too, if you're, like, worried about, like, they say, like, 8 spiders a year, like, crawl into your mouth.
Oh, God.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know who's tracking that.
Well, I'd rather eat one than have one get in my ear.
Sure.
Like, I just felt her pain. My ear bothered me all day today. I couldn't stop thinking about that.
Really? I mean, of all the things on Survivor that you could have happen to you, you know, a bug crawls inside, like starts moving down inside your ear, and she could hear it moving the whole time.
And how do you know it's a bug? And what do you do about it?
I don't know.
How do you, does she just sit there and suffer? I would have asked somebody to come help me, get a doctor, what do I do? I mean, she's laying there and clearly she's got her ear full of water, it looked like, which drove the bug up. Maybe she talked to somebody and they said, just put some water in it and it'll happen on its own. I don't know. But
see, I feel like then the bug starts to move for the high ground.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But I just, that's really gross.
Right.
That was bothersome to me. It bothered me to watch that.
It used to gross me out when I used to watch the Survivor Australia premiere when I was in college, and that you bite into like, oh, a fig tree. And then you bite into the fig tree and then all of the bugs come out. Mm-hmm. And then you're just like, it's bugs. It's bugs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That happened to us.
That was gross too.
Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that crawls over you and through you and into you and all kinds of stuff. But
yeah. All right.
Sleep with your buff over your head and then you'd be all right.
Let's not talk about any more gross stuff for a little bit. Okay, so last night when I was watching the show, we had Debbie, who we talked about, and Joe, and it did seem like that was starting to mirror the Takeo crew over where that you had Debbie and Joe talking about, we're going to build the shelter. We want to be comfortable. It's just for us. And then as they were building the shelter, the younger people were like, screw those old people. Mm-hmm. We don't want them around. They don't fit in with us. And it did feel very Takeo-y.
It did. It looked it. I mean, with them sitting on the beach and the others out in the water, you had the shelter people and the beach people. It happened all over again. But Neil was the one that spearheaded the ageism that was going on there. And that bothers me. I liked him and I didn't like hearing him say that.
Yeah.
You know, because I am now officially one of those old people.
Yeah.
And that bothered me. It's like, you know, I'm not a liability to you. And just don't just jump on somebody because of their age.
Why didn't they like Joe? I didn't really get that. I understand that. Okay, Debbie, she seems like, you know, she's kind of a loose cannon. Maybe she's getting on people's nerves. But I don't feel like the show really illustrated why Joe didn't fit in with the group.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. And maybe he does fit in. Maybe they didn't show you because he does fit in.
No, they were mean about him. They said that he's going to be the most likely to be medevac. Now, to be fair, I also said the same thing about Joe, but I'm not, I'd still be friends with him.
Well, aren't there a bunch of medevacs? Maybe he is. It'll be interesting to see if he is.
Yeah. Well, that's what Liz said about him, that he's the most likely person to be medevac.
Yeah.
He was also the number one pick in my recent medevac draft that we did, myself and Josh Wiggler. But but I didn't understand that. I felt like that Joe might have got the least airtime out of anybody.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on there. Maybe he's the winner.
Maybe. That could be.
I would love that.
Back in season two, that the winner of your season, the first season, that she didn't even get a confessional the first episode.
Who, Tina?
Yeah.
Wow.
They called it the dog that didn't bark.
Interesting. I didn't even realize that, actually. Yeah.
The dog that didn't even run off with a $20 bill, they called it.
Did everybody get a confessional?
I'm not sure. I would think so. I can't think of anybody who didn't get one. I felt like we were complimenting the show last night about how they did a good job giving everybody airtime. Yeah. Whereas on Second Chances, that there were definitely a few people that sort of just got like an invisible edit for the first couple episodes.
Well, there were several people who didn't do anything. They didn't talk. They didn't strategize. They didn't do anything. So, you know, how are you going to make the air if you don't at least play?
You get a bug in your ear.
You get a bug in your ear.
Yes. Somebody should do that in the future. Like, they feel like they're not getting any airtime. Like, oh my God, I got a bug in my ear.
I wouldn't care about the airtime. Just don't vote me out.
Yeah. Well, maybe people would feel bad and then they wouldn't vote. They wouldn't vote against you. Like, oh, you know, Jeff's having a hard time. He's got a bug that's stuck in his nose. You know, let's not add insult to injury for him.
But, you know, anybody could create a lie like that about anybody at any time. And the more outrageous, the better.
Like what kind of lie?
Any kind of lie. A bug up your nose, you know? So-and-so just told me they have a bug up their nose and they just can't stand it. They're not going to let you know it, but they're dying over there. So let's get rid of them. And, you know, it starts a whole thing and somebody's going to believe it. And it's just a nasty little game that we love so much here.
Yeah. Well, why do you want to go play it again if it's nasty?
Well, I don't really, if I can be honest. When they voted me out and I had my whole confessional there at the end, my little closing thing, the first thing I said when I sat down was, don't y'all ever call me for this bullshit again, ever.
Right.
And the producer looked at me and his eyes got all big like, oh, no, you can't say that. That's how I felt in that moment. It's just so uncomfortable and unnatural, and you end up having relationships you wouldn't have in your life, and people are saying things about you, and it's just uncomfortable. And when it's over, it's a relief in a way that you're away from this stuff. You know, you have a minute to think about it and think through it, and then you regret certain things and you process things in different ways. But when I went out, my first instinct was, thank God I get to go eat. I'm just so glad to be away from these people, because I didn't care for the tribe I was on at that time.
Yeah. Well, they say that's like childbirth, too, where it's like you get voted out and then you say, like, ah, then never again. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, time goes by and you say, yeah, all right.
Yeah, feel a little frisky. Let's do it again.
Why not?
Why not? Who knows? I just, you know, you just, I can say that when you play it once, there's this thing in you that makes you want to play it again. You got to do it again. And you can obsess over it a little bit. Some people really obsess over it. I don't have that anymore. I did do it again and it's done. So I don't have that need to do it again, but I just screwed up so badly that if they'll just let me do it again sometime, I just would love to approach it differently.
You're being so hard on yourself.
Well, I lived that. I was there. I understand how I made my life difficult by playing so hard and so fast. And
what? I didn't know you were like Spencer and you had all these regrets about the season.
You know, I don't know that I'd call them regrets. I just know that I made mistakes, and I would like your second chance is your chance to not make the mistake, to right the wrongs. And, you know, I just was not in control. So much of what I was in the middle of was just pure emotion, just going, and my instinct would tell me to do something and then I would do it, and my head would catch up later and be like, what the hell did I just do? And I'd have to walk myself out of it. There was one day the producers sat me down and my confessional was like, what the hell are you doing? you're like a giant sieve. It's like somebody gives you something and you immediately throw it out in another way. Like I think I likened it to a yard sprinkler going. So I'd learn something and then I'd shoot it out and do something, and then I'd catch myself and I'd have to walk it back. And that was my strategy for like 6 days. The first two episodes of me was just running on the gut and doing what the gut told me. And my head never had a chance.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe it was too long of a layoff in between
it
seasons.
It is, and that's the problem. For anybody who plays after they haven't played for a long time, prepare yourself for that, because you just can't.
Right.
You can't really prepare yourself for something like that. The more intensely you want it, the more powerful it's going to come out, whether you want it to or not.
So this is almost like, I'm trying to think of a safe analogy that I could say for this, but it's almost like that you haven't been out in a long time, and then you sort of like get out, maybe like your dog. Why don't you use that? That's a safe analogy. Like your dog has been cooped up in the house for too long, and then he gets outside and then he's like all over the place. Yeah, he's chasing cats, humping the fire hydrant.
Yeah,
he's
like everywhere. Those Amish kids who go out to do their, what do they call it? Their,
I don't know. I know what you're talking about though. Right.
And they go to have a taste of the outside world to see if it's what they want. And they just stay drunk all the time and get laid every 5 minutes. And
right.
It's a lot like that.
Right.
For me, it was. Maybe it's not that same experience for other people. I don't think Wiggles had that experience.
But no.
For me, it really was. And I just was so, I don't know. I think about how I just would have done things differently if I'd had my head on me.
Right.
Honestly.
Yeah. And then it's, and then after that happened, like I'm thinking about in like there's something about Mary where Chris Elliott is like saying to Ben Stiller, like, hey, before you go out with Mary, that you got to just like, release the tension, and then you'll be, you know, relaxed for the next for the next time. And maybe that would be like the third time after you've released the stress.
Who knows? Maybe they won't give me a third time. Who knows?
Who knows? They'd be foolish not to.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'd be foolish to do it.
What's the downside?
It's taxing. It's so taxing. It just takes so much out of you. And I wasn't, you know, one aspect of this whole thing was social media.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have social media back in Australia. So having to watch it with millions of people able to tell you what they think of you at any moment is tough.
Was that thrilling or you liked it better the old way?
It was thrilling in the beginning, and then it got really old. And I started fighting back instead of just letting it run off my back, which made it worse, because if you fight back with them, they come back at you and it's worse.
Yeah, no, you can't do that.
You know, the fact that we started the whole process with this massive campaign. So I'm up 24 hours a day trying to tweet this and get that meme done and make sure I do that podcast. And how do I get this? And it's just, I was on for 8 months.
Yeah.
And now that it's over, my Facebook, I don't even touch it. People are sending me letters like, what the hell happened to you? Are you dead? What's going on? And I just can't. So the thought of doing that all over again makes me nauseous. But, you know, hopefully this show will be around a while, and in a year or two, three, they'll call me back. Hey,
14 years from now, you come back.
And I'll be Joe, and they'll be calling the geriatric ward to come vote me out first.
Yeah, you could be playing 100 years old like Deb.
I'd love to see her play again.
Well, let's talk more about Joe. But do you think that Joe has a shot here? Because I know you haven't listened to Corinne yet, but Corinne loved Joe.
Yeah, I like him too. And, you know, look at what happened to Rudy. It all depends on who you end up with.
Yeah.
You know, it all depends on who you end up with.
Now, the other people that are together, now, do you feel like these four people that are the quote unquote younger people, do you think that has any chance to work? Because I'm sort of like racking my brain through Survivor history. And I feel like that anytime the like quote unquote younger people get together and we're going to vote out the old people, like, I feel like it never works out. And I feel like that this is something like going back to even in Survivor Australia, where it was like Jerry was going to get, you know, Mitchell and Amber, and they had Colby, and like, let's vote out the old people like Mad Dog and Tina and Keith. Like, it never works. Right.
And it's so uncreative. I mean, it's like your immediate easy go to. And you never know what the older people can bring to the table. I mean, there's a wisdom that's with these people that can help, as long as you don't have a whack job. A whack job is a whack job, no matter how old you are. But
first off, if you really want to appeal to the viewers of the CBS network, the last thing you should be doing is picking on the older viewers.
Exactly.
Right.
They're all old people like CBS.
Right. Right.
And it's just interesting. All these shows, they went for a few years where it seemed like all they did was cast younger people. And you're beginning to see older people come back into it. And they're just interesting. And anybody who immediately goes for the old person or the young person, I doubt their ability to actually play, honestly.
Yeah. You don't like ageism on Survivor.
I don't. I don't like sexism, ageism, racism, none of those isms. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's no good. Yeah, it doesn't feel like that's going to work out. It feels like there's going to be, you know, a crack in this somewhere along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one tribe that we haven't talked as much about is the beauty tribe. And so I would love to get your thoughts on, first, talk to me about Ty Trang. Are you a Ty fan?
Total.
Yeah.
Love him. Absolutely love him. He's fascinating. I'd love living with him. I would love doing it. I don't know why he went for those idols like that right out in front of everybody and didn't even bother to hide it. Like, that disturbed me a little bit, because I thought he had all the goods to really do well. And then all of a sudden he's like in their face with these screwing up like that. And I'm going to keep looking. You go. I'm going to go keep looking. And I don't know. I guess you got to handle that however you handle that.
But it turned around real quick for Ty, where he was really got like the greatest edit ever for like 10 minutes. And then it's like, you know what? I need to go look for the idol.
And maybe that's going to be his story, is that you love him 1 minute and then the next minute you don't. And there's a value to keeping that around, and maybe they'll keep him around. But I just find him fascinating.
Were you a big looking for the idol guy?
I was at Angkor.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't try really I did try at Takeo, but I was careful because I knew to be careful. But at Angkor, I knew I was toast, so find it. And I tore the beach all to pieces. I tore the tree mail up. I went through all of our trails. I was looking for them everywhere. And on the last day, Tasha comes up. She starts following me and she's like, What are you doing? And I couldn't stand it. And when I got to the finale party, I went to the producer and I said, where was that idol? I know it was there. And it was right in the one little bitty teeny tiny section that I didn't go to. It was exactly I went everywhere except one little bitty place, and it's exactly where it was.
Now, you played at Takeo with Kelly, who was very good at finding the idols, that she was the sneaky all season.
There you go.
So what was she doing that was so good? Like, what was she tell you guys that she was off doing when she was finding at least the clue to the idol?
Nothing. I mean, everybody goes off to find things and to use the bathroom and to go for a confessional. And you're all going off for various reasons. And she just knew how to go off and look for it while making it look like she wasn't looking for it, just in the event she got caught.
Yeah.
I think when you find an idol, it's luck. Quite honestly, because everybody's looking and everybody's looking quickly. You don't want to get caught looking, but everybody's looking. when you go to see, let's go see where tree mail is. And you go, oh, look at that tree mail. And then you sort of glance over to the right to see this stump. And you're always scoping out where it could be.
Now, I'll tell you what your mistake was, that you were too busy with the aqua dump that you needed to save that, hold on to it, and then needed to like, oh, I got to go out into the woods. And then you could have been finding the idol.
Possibly.
Everybody knew if you said you were going out into the woods, like, oh, no, Jeff, he look at him. He was already out in the ocean. That's he's lying.
Possibly. But, you know, the whole idol thing, I mean, they were on challenge courses. So only the people who found the first clue would know that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of like set it up so only certain people even knew about the idol and where it was. And the only people who found them were the same people who found more and more and more. And it's a luck thing. I really believe that it's a luck thing.
Yeah.
Because everybody knows to go to those little landmarks and dig under this tree and dig under that rock. And that looks interesting. Let's go look over there. Everybody knows to do that. So when you get a chance to do that, you do that.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how the idols are hidden when we ultimately find one. So yeah, Ty Trang is 0-for-1. He seemed to be the only person that was out there looking. Now, there's also the Beast Mode Cowboy that's on this season. Are you familiar with the works of Caleb from Big Brother at all?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I liked him on Big Brother until he just kept on and on and on about his Beast Mode, I'm Beast Mode, I'm Beast Mode Cowboy. And that annoys me. I don't like when people give themselves nicknames because, I don't know, it bothered me. I didn't expect to like him. And yeah. I did. I really enjoyed him last night. He seems like a really nice guy. He does.
Yeah. He got a good edit last night.
Yeah, he did.
Positive edit for the Beast Mode Cowboy. So you don't like that he is too self-referential?
I don't. I don't like that in anybody. But he wasn't in last night's episode. He really wasn't that much.
Yeah, we'll see.
He may be.
And you famously went inside the Big Brother house.
I did. I was only in there 24 hours, but I did. And that was a blast. I'd love to play that game.
Yeah. Maybe that could be it for you. Do you think that would be a good fit maybe this summer if they're going to bring all these Big Brother people onto Survivor? Should they send some Survivor people into Big Brother this summer?
I think they absolutely should. They put them from everywhere.
Jeff, I think you would lose your mind in that Big Brother house over a summer. I don't think that's a good fit for you.
Well, what kind of great TV would Barner losing his mind in the house be?
I don't know if you could do 100 days in the Big Brother house.
But either, honestly. But I'd like to try. I'd like to try.
Like, I think it was all to do to keep you cooped up on a beach there for a couple of weeks on Survivor. I feel like that is going to be too much for you to be in a confined space for that amount of time.
I loved being on that island, though. It was wonderful. Just having that. It's so beautiful and just the open space. You can get away from the cameras and it's just.
Yeah, there's no escape in that Big Brother house.
None. You're stuck there. I don't know. Maybe I couldn't. CBS, don't call me. I won't do it.
Yeah, I don't think that's the right fit for you. I think you should hold out for that third time on Survivor.
Yeah.
But maybe. Yeah, we'll see what happens with Beast Mode Cowboy. And then this other guy, Nick, that's on this tribe. Are you a fan of his or not?
Nope.
No, why not?
I just didn't. His CBS video from the beginning was the first thing I saw of him. And it just seems so, he's just so, he's not at all what he thinks he is to me. I don't know. Smarmy. Arrogant,
he's too handsome.
I don't even think he's that handsome. I don't even think he's that good looking, honestly. And I hate this because he's probably a great guy. This is what I hate about doing this sort of thing. I mean, you just got to.
Well, no, then you could do that Varner thing where it's like, oh, my God. Like, I thought that you were such an a-hole. And then I met you. And I was totally wrong.
Well, he comes across that way, doesn't he? I mean, even on the boat, when they show the boat coming in, he's all spread out on it with one leg hanging over. Like, look how beautiful I am.
Right. Yeah. Man spreading,
you know, and then you stand there and he's holding the chicken and he's just standing there. He just seemed to me like he didn't do a whole lot and he's afraid he'll break a sweat kind of a thing. He just strikes me as being just too much. I don't know. I had him picked to be the first one out, actually.
He seemed like he was trying to talk everybody out of chasing the chickens. He's like, you know, we're probably going to burn more calories chasing the chicken than we're going to get looking for it if we got it.
Can we talk about chicken abuse?
Yes.
They tortured those poor birds.
What are you, Kimmy now?
No, I'm not. I'd eat them. I'm not giving them names and petting them, but I'm certainly not going to run up next to them and grab them by the neck and grab them by the leg and have them screaming and squealing and I don't know. That bothered me so much. I just didn't like that.
Yes.
You don't have to be mean to them. Tie them up to their little legs and let them run and be free and eat them when you can.
You would like to see there be free range chickens on Survivor.
No, because you can't catch them. But I would like them to be tied and give them a little bit of room. You know, Wigglesworth tied our chickens with rope and let, you know, little foot so they could run around and hop.
Yeah. Isn't that what Tai Trang did?
Yeah, that's what he did. And that's what I like that. I love that he loved his chickens and I love that he loved the trees. He ripped the trees up out of the ground, but he dug a hole and put them right back down in there. Yeah, I love that.
He borrowed them and he put them back.
Yes, but I thought the chicken abuse was too much.
Speaking of the chickens, tell me, were you proud of Kimmy and how far she went in the game in season 31?
Very. I thought she did great. I was very proud of Kimmy. And I didn't really know what happened to her in the end. I know when we got out of the game, we spoke on the phone and she started talking about her experience and started crying. I knew that whatever happened to her was really intense and I couldn't wait to see it actually play out. But you know what? If this is a testament to winning the challenges. If Bayon had lost, Kimmy would be gone.
Mm-hmm.
If they had lost one or two challenges, Kimmy was one of the early ones to go from what I understand and talking to people on that tribe. So that's just a testament to how far you can go if your group will just win.
Yeah.
But I thought she was fantastic. I'm really proud of her. I love Kimmy.
Yeah, they say she was right there. The jury would have voted for her.
Yeah. She made that one little mistake. She should have, I don't know what she should have done. Yeah. No, she made it farther than me.
But wouldn't that have made you mad if Kimmy came back and then won the whole season?
No, not at all.
Not even a little bit?
Not at all. Unless I was sitting next to her. Then I'd have been pissed, but. No, not at all. Kimmy's had a ride in her life, and I think she deserved good things happening.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Kimmy play again, honestly.
Third time's the charm for Kimmy?
I think so. I think Kimmy, there's a whole layer to Kimmy we didn't get to see.
Well, it did seem like she was coming into her own at the time that she ultimately ended up going out because, you know, she only played for what, like 14, 15 days the first time. And she didn't really play or do anything in the Outback.
No, she was clueless in Australia.
And then here she is in this season. And then it's like by the time that she gets voted out that she's like, all right, here's what we're doing. We're splitting the votes 2-2-2. I'm going to tell Jeremy and Tasha and Spencer, I'm with them. I'm really with you. We'll split the votes. We'll vote out Jeremy. And she was really sort of like, you know, wheeling and dealing by the time she ultimately went out. Maybe Kimmy third time around would really be like, look, I'm not putting up with any crap from you. You know, like she did with Monica.
Yeah. That whole little element of Kimmy that came out, I want to see more of that.
All right, you sold me.
I hope Kimmy gets a third shot.
You sold me. I'm really in on Kimmy third time's the charm.
And I know the producers like her because they were talking about how much they enjoyed her. So you could see Kimmy again.
Yeah, why not? Let's bring Kimmy back.
Why not?
All right, so talk to me about some of the, I feel like that we haven't talked about too many of the women from this show so far. Okay. Are there any women out of the players that from last night that you feel like really stood out to you?
Anna, I think she's got all of the elements to win. Michelle is very intriguing to me.
Why?
Because she's just that silent, quiet, you like her. She's comfortable. That's an awkward, uncomfortable situation to be in out there. So being with people who make you feel comfortable is very valuable. And I sensed that from her and Anna, actually. And I loved Julia. Yeah. Julia is she's a follower, but she's following them, which I think she's following the right people. So I like the three of them together. I like Aubrey. I was so disappointed that she put her weakness on a platter like that for everybody because I really liked her.
You know, something interesting about Aubrey. So that she's very much into crayons and she wants to color. So am I. In my research, that your luxury item for Survivor of the Australian Outback was a coloring book and crayons. So what does that do for you, coloring with crayons?
Oh, it's so fantastic. It's just such a release. It's creativity. I'm an outside the lines guy, so I'd like to take them and just see what I could do with the white space in the corners and having the crayon in that heat, it kind of melts in a specific way that moves it across the paper, all kind of cool. And just the color, and it's a quiet activity. You can sit there and it doesn't really require a whole lot, but it just therapeutically, it's a beautiful thing. And other people color and you watch them and you can see the color choices they make, which tells you a little bit about them as people. And You can learn about people by the way they color a piece of paper. There's a lot to it. I took it because I knew it would be a cool little activity to do, and I wanted to auction off the drawings for a charity. But once I had it out there, it really dawned on me of how valuable of a luxury item a coloring book and crayons is. So that's why I really liked Aubrey. I related to her on that, and I didn't like the way she showed her weakness like that.
So was that the problem for you in Cambodia where you didn't have your coloring book?
Maybe. But I had Abby. I had all the entertainment in the world.
See, I feel like I would watch Abby color. I think that would be very interesting.
Maybe. It'd be interesting to see. But I still got a lot of those colorings from Australia. I saved all of Hasselbeck's.
Oh, well, now you can auction those off.
For what? $10? No, I'm kidding.
You held on to them too long, is what you're saying?
Probably. I think I missed the boat on that one. Maybe. Well, I don't know.
How does she color? Did she color very much inside the lines?
She was inside the lines in techniques that you would never expect people to color with. And then she'd take the outside the lines and turn it into magic.
Wow.
Elizabeth's incredibly creative. So the colorings I have from Elizabeth, maybe I'll send you a couple you can post online and just show people because they're fascinating.
Yeah. Well, she used to be a stylist, right?
She was a designer, a shoe designer.
Yeah. That was her thing.
She designed her wedding gown, I believe. She did, you know, she's very creative like that. So
see, I thought the whole crayon thing was stupid. Now you're talking me into it.
No, it's awesome. It's a great activity. Adult coloring is the new thing.
Yeah. See, I'm surrounded by kid coloring and it's terrible.
It is terrible. But they make adult coloring books. Cass brought an adult coloring book to Ponderosa.
Yes. When you say she brought an adult coloring book, it's like dirty pictures?
No, it's more complicated drawings.
Okay.
Not the simple stuff. Although I have seen X-rated coloring books, and they're pretty fascinating, too.
Yeah, because Jeremy, when I interviewed him, he said that Cass had all the best stories.
I found Cass to be fascinating.
Yeah.
I liked her.
Yeah, I do,
too. I didn't live with her, so I don't know what it was all about. But, you know, I liked her. And she would, when we were in Ponderosa, she sat across from me, and she was coloring, and I looked at her with these little puppy dog eyes, and she hands me her coloring crayons in her book and said go, and I colored a whole thing with her, and we bonded over that moment. We never shared a word.
Yeah,
but she let me color in her coloring book and it made me happy.
Yeah, so maybe the crayon thing is huge.
I think it's a big deal. If I ever go back again, that's part of what I'm taking with me to fill up the time was a coloring book.
What's the top Varner crayon? What's your go-to crayon?
A purple of some sort, or like an indigo midnight blue.
Okay.
Dark, kind of like my underwear that I wore out there. Those are my colors.
Yeah, the purple shirt.
Yeah. That gave them a bunch of options. You know, they make you send them a couple of clothing options, and that's what they chose for me. So I just made the decision to look like Fred Flintstone when I cut the sleeves off. I'm sure that wasn't their intention.
Yeah, was that just sort of like an improv moment? What was it? It was just like, it's too damn hot. I got to take these sleeves off.
It was hot, and I refused to take my shirt off because I was fat
mm-hmm.
and in HD. So
right,
let me do a little community service here and just hide y'all from the ugly. But it was too hot to have the sleeves, so I just cut the sleeves off, and it was more comfortable. I never took that shirt off ever. There was one time I took the shirt off and laid down on the beach on my stomach because I thought that maybe I could hide my stomach from the – I just wanted to lay here and cool off for a minute. And I look up, and there's the camera right in my face. And I came home and I was like, I got caught with my shirt off once and watch them put it in the show. And damn if they don't. Episode one, I look like a beach whale for about 3.5 minutes. Seconds. But I never took that shirt off. I'm glad I didn't make it to the slip and slide challenge because yeah. I would have had to. And that would have really been unattractive.
Now, you talk about how hot it is when you're out there. It seems like it's even hotter for these people on this season. Are you able to tell exactly how bad it is?
Yes, but I don't think it was any hotter for them than it was for us. It's just hot.
They're just a bunch of babies?
It's just hot. I mean, yeah. We complained about the heat too. But we were there 12 days before the game began. They took us through all the temples, and their pregame was much shorter. So our bodies had more time to acclimate.
Mm-hmm. So it's just like a shock to the system thing for them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It definitely was. I felt Aubrey's pain. I knew what she was feeling. It is hard to think in that kind of a heat and just water's running off of you. And then they make you go do these physically demanding challenges. That blindfold challenge in our seat in Cambodia was horrid.
Mm-hmm.
It was so hot when it was over with, they let us dump water on our heads there at the end because I think they were afraid we were all going to stroke out. It was horrible. It's hard to explain. Australia was 110 degrees, but there was no humidity. It was a dry heat.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that bad, but Cambodia was just hateful. It was so ugly and nasty. Going through those temples at 5 in the morning, they had us walk through there as the sun rose, and it just was torture.
See, everybody else says that was the best part.
It was the best part. It was fabulous. Don't get me wrong, but the heat was just so much. I remember just standing there thinking, oh, don't make me walk again. Let me go sit over here and look at this beautiful place. I just couldn't do it. Then you'd get in the back of the truck and they'd drive you and you'd feel the breeze. One thing about Cambodia is there's no breeze.
Mm.
Those beaches, if you pay attention, don't really have waves. There's no breeze. And I've never been on a beach that didn't have a breeze before.
Yeah. It's Cambodia.
Yeah. It's really awful. It's beautiful. I'd love to go back there, but that's an awful place.
Let's just go back to this decision about voting out Darnell one more time. Do you feel like this was a mistake for that group to vote out Darnell over Alicia? I know you're partial to survivors named Alicia.
I don't know if it was a mistake. You know, you don't know everything going on. You don't see what's really happening.
What would you have done?
So, I probably would have lost her over him.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe Jason saw that Sydney and Darnell were close and he wanted to break that up.
Yeah.
There's a reason there we don't really fully know.
Do you think that survivors at this point is in the three tribe format aren't even playing for we got to keep the tribe strong? They're just like, okay, well, I think this person is going to work with me in the future. And then are we just at the point where even on day one, people aren't thinking about what's the best move for the tribe?
God, that's hard.
Or were we already there before this season?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Or voting blocks.
I think it's just don't let it be me. Yeah. And whatever has to happen that keeps it from being me, because in the beginning you don't know anybody, you don't have a chance to really form relationships, you're not sure who you can trust, there's really not a whole lot of loyalty there right out of the gate. You just have to trust your instinct, and you know, I don't know, I wish I knew more of what happened there that caused him to be the one. They didn't show that to us.
Yeah. What did you think of Scott Pollard after one episode?
I think that he is the kind of guy who needs to be seen as in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of got that vibe off of him that he needed to be the leader. And I think that Jason has adequately tapped into that. I think Jason's the one who's really leading.
Yeah.
But I think he's leading with Scott kind of in a way to help sort of hide. I don't know. I think he'll get in trouble. He makes too much money. He's got too much money. He's big. He's loud.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to grate over time. Something will happen and he'll get in trouble. I don't see him lasting long.
Now, Scott is 6'11". He says he's the tallest player that ever played Survivor. How tall is Mitchell Olsen?
Mitchell Olsen was 7 feet.
Yeah.
Mitchell Olsen was the tallest player.
So what is Scott Pollard talking about?
That's what I'm talking about. He needs to be the leader. He needs to be the one who
needs to be the tallest.
Yes. And you know what? Speaking of old school, new school, even though we're not speaking of old school, new school, that's the one thing that I noticed about the newer players is that they really want to be in the record book for something.
Mm.
They want to be known and seen as the first to do this.
Want to have a thing.
Yeah, they want to have a thing. And the old school players aren't that. You know, they don't really care about all of that. It's not about being seen,
yeah, what's
being
your
famous.
Thing?
And my thing is just to, you mean out there?
Yeah, what's your thing?
Organic.
Just
be organic. Just don't have a plan one way or the other. Just be, because I have learned in my life, that's when I'm at my best.
Yeah.
When I'm just floating by the seat of my pants and just allowing myself to be me in a situation. Because even if you're going to go home, at least you spent 3 days having a damn ball.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. I don't want to get all uptight and wound up. I want to have a good time. If I have gas, I'm going to fart. And you're going to listen to it and probably laugh at it. Because I'm not going to apologize. It's something that we do. I'm on an island. I'm eating fibrous fruit. I'm going to fart.
That's your thing?
That's my thing. Just let go and be.
Let it go. You know, when I talked to Spencer, I did a long interview with Spencer, and he said that was your thing.
It was my thing. I don't know why it was my thing, but it really was. And I got to a point where I didn't care. So if I saw the opportunity to just if an awkward moment was happening and I could lay on the ground and throw my legs over my head and fart real big, it just sort of changed the mood. And it worked really well. And Spencer describing that whole farting in Abby's face thing.
Yes.
Absolute truth. Except it happened at Angkor, which surprises me because Spencer was never there. I don't know how he knew about that, but I exploded in Abby's face and she lost it. And it's my proudest moment from Cambodia was a massive fart to Abby's face. There are no words, Rob. Just don't try. It's just an experience you have to live.
With me, your dad.
It's true. I'm just surprised more people don't flatulate out loud because you're eating fiber and your body is moving and things are going on. And
what, are people are worried about the social game?
I don't know.
Or
maybe.
Is it because they're on TV? Which is it?
Who knows? Who knows? You know, we all pass gas and you're living with me and we're on an island outside. It's not like I've got you in a car with the windows rolled up. Chill out.
Right. But you said there's no breeze in Cambodia.
That's true. So we have to create one whenever we have a chance.
Does it work the same way like in the water where if you move then it follows you?
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Why are we talking about
some questions from the audience then?
Hashtag mumble fart, put it out there.
Let's keep now. Boy, I thought at that tie vote last night that at home Keith Nail said, oh hell, I'll just go home. I'll just go to the house.
I loved hanging out with him for the finale. I didn't get to play the game with him, but he and I had so much fun.
What did you do?
We just hanging out, talking. Just he's great. He's so much fun. I mean, he's a sharp guy.
Yeah, tell me about the finale. Tell me about what your experience was.
Well, compared to Australia, it was like drive-through.
Yeah, because it was such a big event, the Australian finale.
Oh, yeah. Australia was a week-long event. I mean, mm-hmm. You were there with your family, and they wined and dined you, and Mark Burnett was there.
Yes.
Sat at the table with you, and it was just this big deal. And here, it's like, you know, you pull in the morning. We're going to see you at 8 o'clock. Your family's on this bus. You got us on that bus. When you're back, okay, there's a party on the other side of town. I don't know how you're going to get there, but figure it out and have a good time. Your plane's leaving at 6 in the morning. It was like that. Yeah. I was in and out. I was back home before I even realized it.
Yeah. No, it was such a huge event, the Australia. And again, this is like as an outsider, it was really like a huge event of like from the it was like a you know, from the morning of like, okay, we CBS Morning News was just mm-hmm. like, okay, we're continuing. Forget what else is going mm-hmm. on in the world.
Yeah.
We're only here to talk about the most important moment of the mm-hmm. entire news cycle right now is who's going to win Survivor Australia.
Yeah. So, and in between everything, they're taking part of the group over here to play this TV show and you get to be on this show. And then tonight we're all going to come together and Letterman's going to be there. And tomorrow night we're going to all do extra and we're going to have a media line and they're all going to be here. And then the next day you're all going to be on these shows. And
were you on Hollywood Squares? Did you guys do that?
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was the secret square.
Secret square.
Yeah. And I talked a lot about farting that day. I made some farting jokes and I think they made me the secret square just so I'd be on the show because they edited me out. Everything was edited out. I remember Caroline Ray spoke up and said, leave him alone. The producers kept coming up to me in the square being like, do you want to be on this show? You've got to stop talking like that. And Caroline Ray was sitting next to me and she's like, will you leave him alone? I think he's funny.
Let him tell his fart story.
And I've loved her for that. Every time I see her on TV, I think of the day she took up for me.
Yeah. She stood up for you and gave you your free speech.
Yeah, it's like these people take themselves way too seriously. Just chill out. It's just a TV show.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in a square, for God's sakes. Calm down.
The Survivor Cambodia cast, there was nobody wanted you guys to do a game show?
There's something going on right now. I think The Price is Right. They're pulling people together.
Oh, yeah. This is a big thing that, you know, we haven't talked about this too much on the podcast, but they announced a Survivor Price is Right episode that they're going to do. Now, do you know how they're going to find the contestants?
No idea. I know they've been called. Yes. Whoever they are, they've been called. I was not one of them.
I said that I think they should just get all the survivors and just fill the audience because they'd all come and then, mm-hmm. you know, then nobody knows who's going to go up. And then you find out and it's just like they pan the audience. It's every survivor and who's going to go up the contestants row.
Oh, well, maybe they'll do it that way. They'll have the contestants already picked out, but maybe they'll put out the call right before they shoot it.
They'll
say, anybody in LA, come on out, you know? Yeah. You still get on TV for a minute. You little media whore, come running.
With a t-shirt. Right?
I want my name on one of those little yellow price tags that they stick on you.
Yes, yes. We can arrange that. Okay, Jeff, let's get into some of the questions here for you from the listeners of the podcast. All right?
Okay. All right.
Let's. So many different things that we want to talk about from the Survivor Second Chance and from the premiere of Survivor Go Wrong. So okay. Let me start off by asking you from... Phil Gourlay wants to know, there's only 8 people left from Australia to give a second chance to. Who's the one that deserves it the most?
Okay, who are the 8?
Half your season already has played a second chance from Australia?
Yes, I do, because it was a big deal and it was a long time ago. So we've had a lot of time to be cold, I think. And I'm the last one, so isn't that wonderful? I can't think of who is not. Roger. I think Roger might be too old.
Is he older than Joe?
No, I don't think so.
Okay,
he might
so be. We gotta see how Joe does. If Joe is like, oh boy, Joe held up pretty well.
Be. Mad Dog would be funny, but she's checked out. Like, I don't even think she even deals with us anymore.
When you say she's checked out, from Survivor?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't talked to her in years. We used to talk all the time. And then at our finale, she just was very distant. She sat at the bar by herself.
She played the didgeridoo.
She in the finale, the show, she did, but outside of it, she that's when she began pulling away from us somehow. Mm. I don't really know why, actually.
I don't know.
Because we had a great time with her, but I don't think she talks to anybody anymore. She'd be great, I think. I don't know about Mitchell.
She was my favorite. I used to really I was always hoping I would meet her. I never met her.
She's something else. We went one night in New York. I lived in New York at the time. She came to visit, and she wanted to go to CBGB's. Right? Is that, it's not there anymore, but it used to be.
I think it's closed. Yeah.
Yeah. And she somehow managed to get up on stage and she was wearing all leather and she sang something. What was it? I don't know what it was, but it blew the house down. She was amazing.
Yeah. Good for Mad Dog.
She's something else. I really would like to see her out there.
Yeah.
Okay. But she's old. So Neil and all those people.
All right. So we need somebody.
You're in.
Maybe it's Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Maybe she's the one that needs to come back.
I can't imagine she would last 3 days. I think they'd get rid of her just out of meanness.
Why? Because there's too much gluten in rice?
Maybe. She's so controversial. I don't know. I guess it would depend on who you put with her.
Yeah.
I wouldn't vote her out.
Now, she doesn't have a job right now.
Does she not?
Yeah. She's not with Fox and Friends anymore. So.
Well, that's the best thing that ever happened to her.
Yes. Yeah, so she's available.
That show she was on was painful for me to watch. I liked her on The View.
Well, I think that's the move. I think that Elizabeth comes back and does Survivor sometime in the next 5 seasons.
I hope so. I can't imagine she would, though.
Yeah.
Why not? She's above it. She's above all of us now.
No, not anymore.
What do you mean? Just because she doesn't have a job, she's now back with us paupers?
Yes.
No, she's not.
She needs it. This would be a good move for her to go back on TV.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it would. I don't know if her TV days are done because she didn't have a choice. I know that's how TV works. You know, all of a sudden you're announcing that you're going to spend time with your family, but really they didn't renew your contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe she made the choice and she's no longer doing TV. Maybe she didn't. And one day we'll come back. Who knows?
I think so.
She could always come back just by making a phone call. That's a lot of power to have.
Yeah. Come back to Survivor?
Yeah.
Okay.
She could just call them up and say, I want to play next season. And they'd be like, okay.
That's my bold prediction. Hasselbeck back on Survivor before season 40.
You think?
Yeah. I think so.
I'd love to see that.
She'll be like the new Lisa Welchel.
I think Lisa Welchel's a little nicer, actually.
Have you colored with Lisa Welchel?
No, but I'd love to.
Yeah.
I have colored with Hasselbeck.
Yes, I'm telling you. Eric Corbridge wants to know, are you back to eating peanut butter again? Did that solve the whole peanut butter thing for you now?
No. I hate it. I did taste a peanut butter sauce, though.
And how
was
that?
I was eating chicken satay and... used it. It was nothing. I haven't missed a thing. But it was a Twitter moment for me. I took a picture of it, and that's it. That's the only time I've tasted peanut butter.
Okay.
I don't like it. I don't know. I don't know if it's a residual from Australia or what, but
yeah.
I just can't deal with it. And everybody who makes peanut butter jokes to me, they are not funny.
You don't like that?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't hate them for it, but I like them thinking... Okay, that's original. Like, come at me with something else.
Yeah. I didn't even know that was such a big thing for you about the peanut butter.
No, I didn't either. But it is. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Gross.
All right. Thomas Forsey wants to know, did you ever find out what bit your ass? And are you relieved it didn't try to burrow into your ear instead? Or worse, right?
Yeah, it was a hermit. It was a hermit crab, I think.
It just bit your ass.
It was a little bitty crab that just came up and got me. But, you know, I don't like creepy crawly things. So the second you feel that, you freak out a little bit. And I was in a confessional. So as I'm like, what is that? And I raise myself up. They're just looking at me. And yeah. I'm like, I'm asking you a question. Talk to me. What's underneath me? Do you see anything? And the producers wouldn't answer me. They just looked at me. And one camera guy looked at me. I said, do you see anything? And he's like, yes, I do. So I said, get it. Just get it. And I stayed up in that bridged position for a good 5 minutes.
Yeah. But after
wanting them to get it, I was not about to sit back down on it, whatever it was, and I couldn't see it.
Yeah. But after seeing what happened with Jennifer last night, you feel like you got off easy, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Of course. Of course. That was awful what happened to her.
Yeah. Did you feel like that the bug made her ear bleed, or her trying to get the bug out with her finger made her ear bleed?
Probably the bug. I mean,
I think it was her finger.
You think? I don't know.
I think she probably was like making herself crazy, like trying to jam her finger in there and get the bug out.
She could have been. Who knows? But that whole thing made me squirm.
No, it was terrible.
Squirm worthy television.
Yeah, Elizabeth might not come back if you watch that one.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth's tough, man. I don't think that'll bother her at all. She's one tough little cookie.
Okay.
I think she'd be well. You know, if her biggest problem would be her political views and how she rubs people the wrong way. Because you're showing up already on the bad side of somebody.
For the social game?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you've already got her on the island. I feel like the biggest problem is going to be if she wants to do it or not.
Well, if she is out there, that's going to be her issue.
Yeah. Believe me,
they'll
make a whole season around her. You know, if she wants to come back, they'll do the whole like liberals, conservatives, independents, three tribes, and she'll be out there with like the entire, you know,
fascinating television. Yeah,
they'll put her on
that.
The Tea Party tribe, and they'll make her the leader.
Yeah, I wonder what she thinks of Trump.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know who she's leaning toward. I don't follow her on Twitter or anything, but
this is why she needs to come back and tell us who she's supporting.
When you said the other night that the Republican debate was like Tony's tribal council when he started talking llama, I lost it.
I loved
it. That's the funniest thing ever. And it's true.
Yeah. That's good stuff. It was these debates are really, you know, the whole.
They are. We ought to throw all the Republican candidates for president on an island together and let them play for a little while. I would love to see Rubio and Ted Cruz trying to light a fire.
Then the winner is the person that comes out of that. I think that would be very exciting. You could see how they do. Are they going to like make a deal with somebody and they go back on it? I think that would be forget the primaries and the caucuses and the whole system is broken. That we need to put them on a 6-person tribe. And then the person who comes out of that is the nominee.
Would love to see what would happen.
Yes. And then should they run against Peter, who is the Obama lookalike?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like it if you say that he looks. Do you think he looks that much like Obama?
I do. I really do. Till he talks. He doesn't sound like Obama.
He does not sound like Obama.
He does look like him, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. But he said he gets mad if people say that to him.
Well, I think something like that is a great card to have in your pocket when you're playing that game. It's an instant rapport builder. It's you've got somebody who's now interested in you and they're looking at you and they're listening to you and you have the stage.
Yeah, so but
there's your moment of power. Use it in some way.
There's a lot of people that don't like Obama though.
Well, he's not Obama. Yeah. He could be making jokes about, you know, I look like the devil, you know, whatever, and it would work.
I don't know. People, you know, that if you get a real dislike into somebody and they look like them, it's like, oh, you remind me of my ex-wife. Like, I hate you.
It's true.
Yeah.
In the beginning, anyway.
Okay. Kevin Conley wants to know, do you have any good pre-jury trip stories? Now, I'm sure you have good pre-jury trip stories. The question is, do you have good pre-jury trip stories that you could tell us?
Well, yes. Pre-jury stories, there's so many. I mean, I wouldn't even know where to begin. There's Ponderosa, where Shireen and PG spend every moment of every day bitching about Abby. Cards Against Humanity. We took the Cards Against Humanity cards out, the blank ones, and would create really awful things about Abby. One card was about her cavernous vagina.
Friend. Did you stick up for Abby Maria?
A little bit, but at that time I was mad at her. I was home because of her, and that was, I was mad at her for a minute, so I engaged. It took me a little while to sort of re-embrace.
Is it a good idea to have Cards Against Humanity at Ponderosa? That seems like a very bad idea.
Well, we had a great time making the Abbey cards and knowing that once we went off on our trip, the jury would be playing and all of a sudden up would pop an Abbey card.
That's
hopefully
funny.
It was her who got it.
That's funny.
But it was, you know, we had a really great time. Getting to know all of those people in that environment was fascinating. I mean, we had open bars. We had all the food we wanted. We had every luxury. We just massages. It just was a great environment. Halfway through it, Wu had an emotional reaction and didn't want to talk to anybody anymore. I'm probably telling you too much, but he and Shireen got into a fight one night. Monica got really drunk, and it was a dramatic scene in the hotel one evening. And from that moment on, Wu didn't really talk to anybody.
Oh.
He would get out of the van and walk 15 feet so he didn't have to be with us, and he would sit by himself. And
how were you with Wu? Because
I was great.
Yeah. He said, you know, in the game, he didn't trust you.
Right.
But outside the game, you guys got along well.
Yeah,
at Ponderosa?
We did. And the longer that trip went, the more he sort of came around. Like at the airport on the way home, he came up to me and he apologized and he hugged me. And he said he just had a reaction and he didn't really know what was going on. And he had to work through that. And I buy that. That's such a, you know, mind game, all of that. But that's unfortunate that we didn't really get to enjoy the five of us together. It more was like four, and then he was off doing his whole thing after a while. But everything we had, I mean, they had something planned for us every day, and we did it. We went through tombs. We went through old relics. We went to a clothing place where they made clothing, and we had an entire wardrobe made to our bodies. We ate all kinds of stuff. We rode boats. We went for firefly rides up the river. We had a massage every day. There were some days that we just decided we're not going to get out of bed. So PG and I roomed together a lot, and
mm-hmm.
she and I would order room service, and we would just get trashed and lay in bed, and we'd pass out and sleep for a few hours, and then we'd wake up and be like, oh, American Ninja Warriors, let's watch this. And we just sort of laid around and did nothing. And those were some of the greatest days. I miss those days. We had a great time.
Yeah.
And our handlers are wonderful people. Kelly and Andrew just really were fantastic. They knew their stuff. They were friends. They've become great friends. It's really, they're good to you. It's really a good experience for us.
Adam Epler wants to know, did you end up killing any octopi?
No.
You kept your word to Deb?
Yes, I did. But every fish market we went to and I saw them laying there, I thought of Deb. And I wished I had a camera so I could take a picture of it and send it to Deb and be like, look what I'm looking at. Like, I wanted to pick it up and put it on my head and take a picture to really freak her out.
Yeah. Do you still talk to Deb as often as you were talking to her?
We were chatting just a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Actually, when the news of scooping came out, Deb called me. She's like,
oh, no.
Craziness.
What was her reaction?
Mortified.
Yeah.
She was very upset. She's got a personal connection to something similar to that, and it's a long story, but
yeah,
and hers to tell, but mortified, just mortified. And you know, it bothers all of us because we were there with him, and I don't really want to get into a whole lot of it, but I just, you know, as a journalist, I've been a reporter and a news anchor for years. My whole mentality is to not judge. We're innocent until proven guilty. So you can't go on air and convict somebody who a jury hasn't convicted yet. You've got to give them the benefit of the doubt. And that's the American way. So to see all of these people just attacking him, and it bothers me so much, even though what he's accused of is so heinous. It's like, you just, it's un-American,
mm-hmm.
really, to judge somebody before they've been judged. It's not our job yet. So I'm eager to hear more. I want to know more. I know from my own experience, pictures can appear.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow you can go to any website and stuff just downloads itself, and other people use your laptop. People send things. You don't know what you're doing. I don't know what we don't know the facts. We don't know what were in those pictures. We don't know what, I mean, I'm not familiar enough with what all he's accused of doing to be able to make a judgment, but my heart goes out to his children.
Yeah.
So much. And that whole situation has affected the Survivor 2 cast greatly.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't want to get too much.
Yeah,
into
we
that.
Took it
that's,
down the wrong
that's
road.
That's a whole different conversation.
See, this is a moment at Takeo Camp when I would fart.
Yeah.
Change the whole mood. If somebody would be laughing, we'd get the subject changed.
It really is a superpower.
It is a. All you got to do is just relax. It's just relax. You're outdoors. You're dirty anyway. Just relax. It's just a fart. And it can lighten the mood. A fart is like a Valium. It's like Prozac. It can really do a whole lot of different things. It's not always a bad thing.
All right. This is a question from Jean Damien Buisson wants to know, Survivor winners are often shown forming an alliance on episode one. Who do you think formed the group to get them to the end? I saw the three beauty girls as the clear front runners right now, but would love to hear your always perceptive opinion.
Absolutely. I feel like the winner this year is a woman.
Yeah.
I just, you know, except for Jason, he's sneaking up in there. He could do it, but I just feel like the winner is a woman this season. The women feel stronger to me. The men feel a little more aloof and just sort of character-y. Mm. Women seem more grounded and playing really sort of, you know, subtly, which women are very good at that.
Amy Shapiro wants to know, what co-wrong contestant most needs to be on a midlife quest?
I love her. Amy bought one of the shirts. Thank you, Amy. I love you, darling. You look great in that shirt.
Yeah, she's great.
Who needs to be on one is everybody.
Oh, trick answer.
Because being able to embrace who you are and where you're headed and everything about you is just such a freeing thing. It's okay. You worry about, you know, being fat on TV or being old on TV or being whatever. When you just let that all go, like, I don't care. And then the whole world sees it and you're still living. It's okay. And it's just, it's a mentality to just let go and be free and be and enjoy and let the spirit grow. We've lived in boxes our whole lives. We're at a point where we can just step out of that for a minute. That's not the way my life is going to be anymore. I'm going to be what I want to be and be who I want to be happy. And everybody should be on one.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave it at that. I think they all should be.
Just feels like that's your mantra of Jess. Step out and fart.
You got it.
Yes. And who cares who hears you?
Exactly.
Who cares if there's not a breeze and Abby Maria is standing right there?
Exactly. If the world says you shouldn't do it, I'm going to be the first one in line to do it.
Just yes.
To see what happens. What's yes. The world going to say? If I fart, it's okay. It's okay.
Don't color inside the lines.
Exactly.
Go out there and let one rip.
Exactly. Because that's where all the that's just all the good stuff's on the outside. You've been in a box with everything forever. Get outside and taste something new.
Yeah, don't keep your farts inside that box. Let it go out.
My mother's going to hear this podcast and die.
No, don't say that. How is your mom doing?
She's great. She's doing great. I mean, she had breast cancer when I left for Cambodia. When I got back, she had been diagnosed cancer-free.
Right.
And she's been cancer-free ever since. And her best friend, ironically, gets breast cancer right after my mother's declared clean. And her best friend is now going through that exact same process and through the treatment, all of it. And she's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's almost like God has put my mom in Linda's path for her. And it's just beautiful to watch that play out. My mother, who needed all the support for so long, is now the support for somebody else. And I guess that's the way the Cancer Survivor Network works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You reach out and help somebody. You understand what they're going through. It's kind of like Survivor Anonymous. We all sort of love each other because we know what hell we've all been through, even though we've been through different hells.
Yeah.
It's all the same.
And are you there as a resource for other survivors to other survivor players to reach out to?
No.
No.
No, nobody reaches out to me for anything, and that's okay.
Yeah.
It's fine.
But would you be there for that? Like
your mom? Of course. Of course I would. Of course I would. And I have been, but, you know, I'm not really part of that.
So Darnell was like, boy, I don't know what to do now. You'd be there?
I would. If Darnell called me, we'd have a long discussion, and he'd be fine.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just a game. It's just a stupid little game that we all love. I don't mean to call it stupid. It's awesome. But at the end of the day, it's just a game. And it's, you know, so many people pour their life into it. Like, it's all about their lives.
Yes.
They've played it once and they obsess because they've got to have it again. And I'm going to tweet 15 times a day to put me on this show. John Carroll, I'm not talking about you. And it's just, you feel for them because they're bound by this thing that it's not worth it. But I get it. I understand why it's there.
Yeah.
And maybe because I've played my second chance, I've worked it out. I don't feel that anymore. But I try not to, I try to stay unplugged and away from it because that's just a very saddled down, chained place to be. I don't like it.
If it happens, it happens.
Yeah.
Brian Elwood wants to know, which tribe do you think you would fit on the best? What are you, Jeff? Are you a brain, a beauty, or a brawn?
Well, I happen to believe I'm all three.
Yes.
On some level, there's a little brain, beauty, brawn in all of us.
You're like Tai Trang.
Except I'm not that cute.
He is adorable.
He is. I don't know, man. I think I would really like to be on the beauty tribe just because I like those girls.
Mm-hmm. But which are you in a vacuum?
I do not use beauty to get through my day. Mm-hmm. I don't use brawn to get. Sometimes I'll use my brain. I'm a little bit brain.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Okay.
Maybe the brawn and the beauty was in my younger years.
See, you would be perfect, I think, for the brains tribe. And I think that if they put you on the brains tribe, I think that you would even be even wilder out there.
You think?
I think so. Because it's like, no, I'm on the brains tribe. I gotta be brainy.
Well, I kind of was on the brains tribe. I was with Shireen and Spencer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, how brainy can it get? And they were driving that ship, so.
Yeah. Well, he was on the original brains tribe, too.
Mm-hmm. And he's so smart.
Yeah.
He's really smart. She's really smart. And their survivor encyclopedia in their head is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, they know right. Every little thing about everything and whose name was who and what somebody wore that day 15 years ago. And I can't even imagine that.
Yeah. It takes up a lot of brain power.
Yeah. There's so many important things in the world. It's amazing to me that somebody knows all those facts. I love it. It's a testament to how great this show is.
Edward Morris wants to know, does Caleb have an advantage having already played Big Brother? Now, we saw this with Hayden. I have said that I think that Hayden Moss is the greatest one-time Survivor player that there is of the non-winners. Do you think that Caleb has a big advantage coming in? We also had Natalie and Nadia, while they played The Amazing Race twice, Nadia mm-hmm. was the first person out, but Natalie went on to win her season with mm-hmm. that Amazing Race background. So do you think it's a big advantage for Caleb?
I think that it is an advantage in that you have put yourself through a rigorous situation before and had to make friends and mm-hmm. build relationships to get yourself further. So that's something they've already done, and they know how to begin it, and they know how they need to act and perform and behave. It doesn't matter what show you're on. It's still the same premise.
I agree. I was actually impressed with him last night in terms
Very
of
much so.
Like when he got to the beach and he was saying to the guys where he was with Nick and Ty, and he's like, okay, well, I heard that one over there. She said that she was a chemistry major. So, you know, he's sort of like keying into, okay, it's the first day. I need to sort of like be very observant and listening mm-hmm. to what people are saying.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that that was actually a really good job by him sort of like mm-hmm. keying up. And I don't know if he would have been like that on the first day in the Big Brother house, but he certainly had that, you know, in his back pocket of, okay, yeah. I need to be doing surveillance on these people.
Yeah, he played that beautifully, I thought.
Yeah.
I expected a beast mode this, beast mode that coming out of the gate. And it wasn't that. I mean, he jumped off that boat and did that flip. And it's like, okay, there's a little of it. We're going to start off with it. And that's going to be annoying. But he didn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, they know who he is. And they know how well Hayden did. And they know that Natalie won. So if history is any kind of a teacher, that's probably the kind of a player you get rid of.
Yeah. So interesting because, you know, had seen this on the Survivor Reddit today about how somebody who posted about how that Natalie was the last person that they saw win the game. And so you have somebody who's in their mind, the last season they saw is the winner of a reality show. You have Hayden mm-hmm. who only played a couple seasons ago. You mm-hmm. think that that could be something that's in their minds of, hey, you got to get rid of these people that have already played on another show before.
You know, maybe. I don't know that I would behave that way, but it stands to reason why they would.
Okay.
And I mean, you've only seen them do well. You've not seen anybody play another reality show on that show do badly.
Rob Brereton wants to know, how confident were you that you were going to make the cast of Survivor Second Chance? Any contestants that you were surprised didn't make the cut? I think that you had to have been really surprised because you ran up there. You were like a Price is Right contestant. You almost fell down. You almost fell like Scoop, and you almost fell right into the fire on the stage.
I know. I tripped over the top stair. That was so embarrassing.
But you, and that's you not had the last time I did. A little bit uncertain whether you're going to get on or not, right?
I went up and down. There were times I felt confident and times I just didn't. And I knew that I was campaigning harder than anybody, and I felt the love. So I felt it, but I just didn't know if it would work for me. I don't know. I've worked in news across the country, so I have markets of people who know who I am because I was their news guy and they follow me. And I knew that I had a lot of people out there that if I could just get them to vote for me, they would. But then I'd have moments where I thought, there's no way I'm going to beat Shane. There's no way I'm going to beat all these people. Joe, Spencer, they're not even trying to campaign. They don't have to. And I don't know. So when he announced that Wigglesworth was first and she got in and Kimmy was second and she got in, I just felt like it should be a no next. Next, it's time for a no. So that's why I was so happy. I was expecting on the fly there for that to be a no.
Yeah. And when T-Bird didn't get on, what was your reaction?
Shocked.
Yeah.
I was already on the stage so I could see her face and it just sunk. She was devastated. And then when he even moved on and went to other people and the camera was off of her, I still was focused on T-Bird's face and it just... Same with Shane. I mean, it really hit him. It hit him deep.
Yeah. Well, especially because Shane was somebody you were talking to, right? And then so was it like a huge bummer for you when you saw somebody that you were talking to that didn't get on the show?
I don't even think I thought about that until later on that night. I just remember I felt for him. I remember my feelings were hurt for him. And I felt bad for Troy Zan for some reason. I've never met that guy, but I hugged him on the way out the door. I just felt like that's what I needed to do. It just felt... You could see in their faces they were really pained. That hurt them. And I hope they all get a chance to do that again.
Adam Balaban wants to know, who would you align with this season?
The girls.
The girls?
The beauty girls. Yeah, the beauty girls. I like Sydney. I like her. I love Jason. I thought that I was going to like Neil. I'm not so sure right now.
What's the turnoff for Neil?
I just feel like I would be the one that he would say, get rid of him. He's old.
You feel like that he is an ageist?
Yeah, I did. In that moment, now I don't know if he really is. I don't know him. Maybe that's just a card he was playing at the time, which is understandable. You know, I ain't mad at him for doing it, but you know, now I'm on the old side of the fence, so I don't like to hear that.
It's too close to home. All right. Well, one last question for you, Jeff, from Miles Furlong, who wants to know, I'm a huge fan of yours, both as a player and a person. What is the next chapter in your midlife quest?
I am launching an adventure travel company. And the more I work on it, the more I meet people who take me on a different road and I'm just seeing different avenues for it. So I'm hoping to launch something this fall. I meant to do it this spring. But
what kind of adventure would I go on?
All kinds of things. I'd love to create a similar to what we did in Vietnam. You know, that's what they did. Our handlers did. They were tour guides. They would craft
and create.
Well, you
did on the Ponderosa, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. On a pre-jury trip when they would take us through Vietnam afterwards.
Okay.
They would sit down every night and plan our agenda for the next day. And I just ended up hanging around them and watching them. And they encouraged me to do it. Kelly English, one of the girls who runs the whole thing, is one of my mentors now. So she is coaching me and grooming me. And I'm really just honored to have met her because she's just so talented. And it's just a great thing to do to be able to help somebody open their mind and their spirit with travel. I learned that out there and I want to do it for other people.
Can I go to Vietnam and just stay in the hotel and get room service and get loaded?
Yes. And okay. Vicodin is purchasable on the street.
Wow. Wow. Well, this is now a good vacation.
Yeah. Not that I would know that. I'm just saying that, you know, we were amazed that you could walk into any pharmacist on the street and order a bottle of Valium.
Yes.
It's like it's there for the public. You don't need a prescription or anything. That amazed us.
Yes. Could you take us to the birthplace of Tai Trang?
I don't know where he was born. Okay. I would. Yes, absolutely. I can take you
maybe
anywhere.
Maybe that could be the
tie-in. That's one thing I've learned. That's one thing I've learned.
Tai Trang in.
We could. Yeah. And take him along with us. He could be the guy. Wouldn't he be great?
Yeah. Yeah. You and Tai Trang. He should be your business partner.
I love it. Tai, call me. I'm on Twitter. Hit me up. We'll figure it out.
All right. Well, Jeff, thank you so much. This was so much fun to go through all of these different things from season 32 and revisit season 31. Jeff, what should the hashtag be when people get to this point and they want to let you know that they enjoyed this?
Oh, you do that, don't you?
I do that.
I kind of want to keep mumble fart going. Keep that going because that was really attractive.
Okay.
I don't know. You tell me. I think hashtags have to grow out of somebody else. I can't give you my own hashtag.
Well, I do feel like that the couple of themes that you talked about were just letting it rip. I feel like that.
Letter rip.
Seems to be like your thing.
Letter rip. LETRRIP. Letter
rip. Just like you said to your shirt in Survivor Cambodia. Just let her rip off the sleeves.
Mm-hmm. And hang on to them because at night you put them back on.
Yeah. That's perfect.
When I got sunburned, I had to put my arms back on.
Yeah. And maybe people, then they could send you pictures that they're drawing with crayons and you could let them know what you think of them.
Yes. I had actually people send me pictures of them in my outfit. They would cut their sleeves off and put a tie on. And
yeah. Well, you got voted out around Halloween, right? It's sort of like around that same sort of time where people were like, oh, that's a good costume.
Yeah. Somewhere around like that. It was funny to get those pictures.
Okay. Now, Jeff, I know you said that you are not going to be on social media much, but we still want people to follow you on Twitter, right?
Yeah, please. I'm not disappearing. I'm still there and I'll be there. I just can't respond to everybody like I used to. I spent a lot of time. That's a lot of work.
Yeah. All right. Well, follow at Jeff Varner on Twitter. That he's still there, and you never know that he might post a bunch of stuff at any point, right?
Yes, please. And if anybody has any kind of know-how or access to anything travel-related, let me know.
Okay.
Because I'm looking for partners, and I'm meeting some really great people, and everybody I meet comes up with a different angle for me. And I mean, I've hooked up with someone in NASCAR who, can you imagine a NASCAR experience? I mean, there could be an entire vacation for a NASCAR fan around that, meeting people and hanging with people and doing things. I've got somebody now who can get me into the Panthers. I mean, can you imagine, you know, hanging out in the locker room and having dinner with Cam Newton or, you know, I really want to do some cool stuff. Yeah. I want to do genealogy travel. There are a lot of people that would love to go back and, you know, who do you think you are? That show. I'd love to do that. That's so doable. My cousin has her PhD in genealogical studies. So I've got her working on a whole thing, and there's just so much going on. I'm going to have to slow down and just pick one or two things and start.
Yeah, you're playing too hard, too fast.
Jeff. I am. I can't help it. It's just the way my mind goes when I'm passionate about something. I just
pick
can't
one
help
thing.
It. But one of the things that I want to do is a virgin camping experience. Uh-oh. And I want to start with.
Wait, hold on. Just explain what you mean by virgin camping experience.
Well, virgin meaning you've never done it before.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a lot different than I thought you were trying.
There are a lot of people out there who would love to camp and they don't own the equipment. They don't live in a place where it's easy to do. And I've teamed up with some people who are going to supply all the supplies. I've got two Survivor 31 contestants that everybody loves that's willing to come out and do it. I just have to put it out there and publicize it. I hope you'll let me come back and we'll do a, maybe you can come with us and do some podcasts.
Is it glamping?
It's not glamping, but it's not. It's not the KO Beach camp.
From the camp?
Why not? Why couldn't you? Why not?
It needs to be someplace where I can have electricity. So that might count as glamping.
Well, we got batteries, and I'm sure there's a plug somewhere. We'll figure it out.
But where are you going to camp? In the United States?
Yes, in the mountains of North Carolina on the French Broad River. It's absolutely beautiful. Pisgah National Forest. There's whitewater rafting there, zip lining, kayaking,
hiking. Are there earbuds?
I
could be out if there's earbuds.
I've never had one, but I'll give you something to stick in your ears. You're going to be in a tent anyway. You're okay.
Okay. All right. Well, we will keep an eye out for that.
Okay, good.
All right. Jeff, thank you so much. I really appreciate you spending the time with us, and all the best, buddy.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate it. I love your show. I love what you're doing. It's great. I love it. I can't wait to hear Corinne.
All right. You'll check it out. It's in the archives.
Cool.
All right. Take care, buddy.
All right. Bye, guys.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Jeff Varner here on the podcast. And Jeff is so much fun to talk to at any time. So really excited to get him on here in our season premiere recap episode. Of course, we are going to have our podcast coming up with Bryce Isaiah, which is going to be coming up in real time for me just in a little bit. So excited to get into the voicemails with the Purple Pants Badass. I said at the top of the show, I was only going to mention Patreon. If you guys got to the end of the show, if you're still listening to this, that means you didn't turn the podcast off. And if you're still listening to me now, you still didn't turn the podcast off. So this is a good person to talk to about the Rob Has a Podcast Patron program. Patreon is a service that I use to which people can help support Rob Has a Podcast with small monthly contributions. In exchange for that, we have some extra content and also other incentives, which you could check out all at robhasawebsite.com/patron. We just started a new feature. I had always done a monthly patron cast, or from very early on, from when we started doing Patreon about 2 years ago, where we had the monthly patron cast where people can call in and I take phone calls live. I would do that every month at the end of the month, and people would call in and we do it like 2.5 hours and I take all the phone calls. But one of the things that I wanted to start doing was that I felt I should give people a weekly podcast. So what I just started doing, did the first one this week, is there's a new patron podcast that's for people that are in at the $5 a month level.
that they can hear a podcast. I'm trying to get Nicole on these, where it's calling it the Patreon 5 for 5, where it's 5 questions for the people that are at the $5 level a month. And so it's going to be one podcast a week. And then at the end of the month, we still do the patron cast. And then if you want to check out all the other incentives, there's other incentives. If you want to do more with Patreon, you could check it all out at robhasawebsite.com/patron. It's something I truly appreciate. The patrons that we have all are so amazing, and I really do appreciate that they keep me here podcasting about Survivor and reality TV full time. And so if you want to find out more about that, go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. I truly do appreciate it. If it is something that is not for you or something that you can't do right now, I really appreciate that you just listen to the podcast. You can always use our link for Amazon.com. That helps us out too. robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. All right. Great start to the Survivor season. Very happy with the Jeff Varner interview. Can't wait to get into it with Bryce. Of course, the Amazing Race podcast with Jessica Leese is going to be back on Friday night as well for episode number 2 of the social media season of the Amazing Race. So lots more to do. Of course, the David Bloomberg podcast, my Wiggle Room with Josh Wiggler, all coming up in the next couple days. So lots to do, lots to check out that we've already done this week on robhasawebsite.com. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.